Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I'm your radio, radio show. I'm your radio, radio show.
Hello and welcome to the Niall or Nine podcast. It is Niall and Andrea. On this episode, Andrea, I'm very excited.
I can see it in you now. You're beaming.
My voice is beaming. And that's because on this episode, we're going to be talking about one of my favorite subgenres in the entire world of music. And that subgenre is called Italo Disco. And I'm going to start by playing one of my favorite songs and a song that will give you a good impression of what Italo Disco is. Before I explain everything, here is a bit of a track from Kano called Another Life. Okay, and that is an Italo Disco classic from Kano, not to be confused with the UK artist Kano. They are an Italian group who were around from 79 to about 84, about the peak time of Italo, really. And Andrea, I know you've been listening to an Italo playlist that I sent you.
I have.
A little bit. So you're a little bit, yeah. You're definitely familiar with the kind of sound it is.
I'm sort of, you know, when it's like, oh, did you do the homework? It's like, yeah, I did the homework. I did it. I don't fully understand it.
That's what we're
like
here
if,
for.
If the teacher was like, how did you get X minus 4 on this? I'd be like, I don't know, miss. I just got it. But I enjoyed doing it. It was great.
Good.
Yeah. So Niall sent me a playlist that was, I think, close to or slightly over 8 hours.
At least 8, yeah.
That, yeah. that we've been enjoying in the house here now.
Good. That playlist is going to be shared with Patreon members this week. Actually, later today. So by the time this episode is out, Patreon members, that's patreon.com/909, will get access to that 8 hour plus playlist featuring a lot of the songs I'm going to play here today and a lot of other ones. And I guess to answer your question, because actually it was really useful to me to go and research Italo in its full form, because I thought I knew what Italo was, and I think I do still, but the truth about Italo is it's not really one thing. And you know, even the fact that it's called Italo, you know, you think, okay, it's music of Italian origin. Sometimes it's not. So, I mean, generally speaking, Italo disco is a European form of electronic disco that proliferated through Europe, starting with a lot of Italian artists and labels, really. There was quite a lot of them, but it's really a catch-all term for an 80s electronic pop of danceable style that was mostly of Italian origin, but didn't just mean that. And in terms of the sound of the music, you know, one of the things, there's a Vice article that's worth having a look at. It's called A Bullshitter's Guide to Italo Disco by Angus Harrison.
Oh, I read that. Yeah. It's very good.
So the first a description of Italo in Harrison's words is, imagine if you can, if somebody made a B-movie of the entire disco genre. Music so obviously emotional, it becomes inescapably affecting. This is Italo and its heartstring-pulling magic. It's not disco. In fact, in most cases, it's technically a lot worse. But there is an untold charm in the chintz. So, you know, for a lot of people, Italo is that kind of very fun, guilty pleasure music, a tasteless kind of novelty item. And what I love about Italo is it doesn't take itself very seriously. It's very much like a particular strain of pop music, 80s synth pop music, that just is unabashedly romantic and over the top and is effortlessly, in its own way, cool and, you know, hermetically sealed in its own world. And that's what we're going to focus on here. But before we get to that, I'm going to kind of talk to you a little bit about, like, you know, it's a simple music in a time when music was increasingly sophisticated. So even when you're looking back now, you're like, oh, the 80s, you're like, no, this was a, like, Italo was a time capsule of a more innocent time, almost, of like bad.
So are we talking early 80s here? Or yeah. So was late, it kind of getting ready to jump off in the late 70s?
So I'm going to give you a full history of Italo, and we're going to go from the decline of disco into Italo from the late 70s to the early 80s. So, you know, it's a, like a time capsule of an innocent time in bad dancers. We had keytars, lots of mustaches, and people dressed up like chrome and silver. What happened with disco in America, as we all know, and disco became very saturated, a bit of a parody of itself, as genres sometimes do. The major labels got really, really got in on the disco vibe. Kiss and Rolling Stones were making kind of disco novelty records. Then you had the likes of Saturday Night Fever, which was obviously a huge smash, which accelerated both its popularity and its ubiquity, and also, you know, kind of started its decline in terms of disco music. And obviously,
I have just a little aside on Saturday Night Fever. I once was staying up late and was flicking around the channels. And as you do, you come across a film late on Film 4 or TG Car. And it was Boogie Nights.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was going to be Saturday Night Fever. And I put it on. And it wasn't Saturday Night Fever. It was a whole different film.
No, it definitely
is.
So
that's the story of how I haven't seen Saturday Night Fever, but I have seen Boogie Nights.
Okay. Well, actually, I do have some trivia about Saturday Night Fever. Did you know, Dre, that Saturday Night Fever...
No, I know nothing.
Okay. Did you know? This is... It's a rhetorical question. You know what that's... that Saturday Night Fever is based on a 1976 article by a writer from Derry.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Interesting aside, the writer was called Nick Cohen, and he was an interesting guy from Derry originally, moved to England, and then wrote an article all about the disco clubs of New York. 20 years later, in 1996, Cohen revealed the article to be a complete fabrication based only on club goers he knew from England. In the early 80s, he was indicted on drug trafficking charges for importing 4 million worth of Indian heroin. So
all of that is amazing, and it chimes, not the drug trafficking bit, but the other bit where you just make up stuff. I've always wanted to publish a review of an album that doesn't exist and see, can it get past people. Do you know what I mean? Just like describe a rock album in like the most generic form possible, or a disco album, or whatever it might be. Whatever is of the time. Maybe right now it would be like a post-rock album from some Dublin band that just doesn't exist.
Yeah. Oh, that's
so
good.
Yeah, have to respect that.
Very good. So, you know, obviously disco was a music rooted in very much a black origin. And as it started to morph into the mainstream, there were a lot of heterosexual rock and roll white men types who were very threatened by disco. You know, disco was music that was playful, free and open, very gay friendly as well. And then, of course, the very well-known night where the disco demolition night was, if you excuse the pun, a fuel for the decline of disco in America and a rejection of its style, audience and sound. It's also said to be quite, you know, there was undercurrents or maybe even overtones of racism and homophobia in that whole thing. Basically, if you don't know, Disco Demolition Night happened at a baseball game in 1979 at Comiskey Park in Chicago, and everybody was encouraged to bring their disco records to burn them, and the whole thing ended in a riot. The crate of disco records were blown up on the field between the games. Sorry, it was two games, and between the two games, and one of the second game had to be abandoned, and the Chicago White Sox had to forfeit the game because this went so mad. But basically, there was a lot of backlash about disco at the time in America. And, you know, at the time, disco had been coming out of America and, you know, being heard in European circles. And as disco was declining in America, what was really happening is that the white populations of Europe were embracing disco and then starting to morph it into more electronic disco. And we see that now in, say, places like Germany and the Benelux countries. There was a style of music called Schlager, which is very much like sentimental ballads, very much crooning kind of music, very light, very poppy, but also very nice. It kind of, I mean, I haven't looked too much into it, but it kind of reminds me of like listening to Johnny Logan or something like that. That's what it would be like,
a bit
of that kind of music. So it wasn't exactly dance music tempo. So that's where Italo kind of starts to establish itself, because a lot of people were importing disco records from the US. And as that was declining, you know, there was still an audience for it in Europe. So as a result, you know, what happened was the imports were becoming expensive, and it was there was records becoming rare and rare. You know, they couldn't get disco, so they started to make disco, and instead of making pure disco with full bands, they were making disco made with synthesizers and drum machines. So Euro disco was already happening in places like France and Germany, and even like if you think about Voulez-vous by ABBA, right? Like Voulez-vous by ABBA is essentially a Euro disco song. You know, it's 1979. It's kind of around that time. Okay, so we talked not too long ago about Daft Punk and their legacy on this podcast. Well, we did mention maybe that Thomas Bangalter's dad, Daniel Vanguard, wrote and produced material for a lot of disco records, and including the Gibson Brothers and Ottoman. So just to stop by in France for a second, here is Ottoman with D-I-S-C-O, a French-made record involving Thomas Bangalter's dad. Okay, you probably know that song. Most people probably know that song in some way. That was a 1979 track. But a couple of years before, in France, there was a French producer called Cerrone, and he had a third album out called Supernature, which was released September 1977. And the title track was a big hit. And you can kind of hear now how this song starts to morph from the kind of old disco of America into disco of Europe, as you start to hear more electronic tones and very much that kind of style. So let's hear a bit of Supernature by Cerrone.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Supernature by Cerrone. You may have heard Cerrone's music was really more of a kind of a space disco. And this was something that was happening around the same time. Space disco, as the name suggests, very spacious, kind of open, chugging rhythms. Like, it has disco elements, more of the pew-pew sounds and that kind of stuff. And often cheesy lyrics about space aliens, sci-fi or travel, you know. So it was a lot of that kind of stuff. Mm. It was a very, you know, particular strand of the disco in Europe that came out afterwards, and a lot of it was European. But at the same time, in Germany, a mustachioed Italian producer called Giovanni Giorgio Moroder was beginning to make a name for himself. His 1976 album, Nights in Satin, White Satin, was the bridge between the styles of disco and electro pop. And here is the kind of, you can kind of hear this now. I'm going to play a song from the 1976 album called Play I Wanna Funk With You Tonight. So that's still very much, you know, the classic disco sound as well. You can hear the classic disco band sound there. A year later, Moroder would release an album called From Here to Eternity, which really embraced the synthesizer sound. So here's a song called Los Angeles from that album, which you can hear the difference. So that is Los Angeles from Moroder's From Here to Eternity 1977 album. You're going to hear the more synthesized sounds on that track. A year later, Moroder is making a name for himself internationally and in America as well. He was actually soundtracked the film Midnight Express, and one of the most famous tracks he released was on that soundtrack called Chase, and this is what it sounds like. Okay, so Moroder was making a name for himself. Things were going quite well. And he was starting to collaborate and produce with a lot of different people. And then in 1977, the same year that From Here to Eternity was released, he's based in Munich at the time, and he hooked up with Donna Summer and recorded one of the all-time classic records on a song that maybe changed dance music forever, which of course is called I Feel Love. Thank you. Okay, obviously that is an absolute classic. It went at the time, it was, you know, even quite groundbreaking. And it went on to be, even in the UK singles charts in July 1977, it was 4 weeks at the top of number one. And here is Marauder talking about making this song.
I had this big modular Moog and I had my guy and I said, okay, I don't know how to start, but let's start with the bass line. We put a click on, I could play dun, 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 and then obviously speed it up or down. And then when we mix it down, the original was dun, 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 dun. And Jürgen Koppers, my sound engineer, added a delay and suddenly it sounded, I said, oh, that's a whole new, that was the key moment. The song was done without a melody because you cannot compose and tweet at the same time. So when it was done, I started to sing the melody and then Donna obviously
so
wrote the lyrics and sang it.
Here we are, we're coming to this kind
of... just to say, I really wasn't expecting him to sound so much like Werner Herzog.
Oh God, I could listen to Giorgio Moroder talk all day. So,
he
so
sounds
fun.
Exactly he's, like Herzog.
He's on the Giorgio Moroder on the Daft Punk album, you know, Random Access.
He's
maybe.
Good,
So it's so good. I love listening to him. So, you know, you're getting a lot of like European made electronic disco at the same time, right? But then what comes after in America, which is, you know, parallel to that, there is a genre of music which does have a bearing on what we're getting to, which is, you know, the Italo sound. And after disco's kind of decline, you know, the clubs were still rocking, the DJs were still doing their thing, you know, they were still really important. And a sound called high energy became a very dominant sound of the white, mostly white, gay clubs in New York, London and San Francisco in the early 80s. It was faster music, as it sounds. It was aided by an increased use of amphetamines and cocaine on the dance floor. Was less funky than disco while being more reliant on electronic instrumentation. It was campier, sleazier and more knowing. You've got then like a couple of, I'll give you a few examples of this. This is a song which coined the genre name. This is Evelyn Thomas and it's called High Energy.
High energy, your love is lifting me. Oh, high energy, your love is lifting me. Lifting me high.
So it's kind of fast, it's fun, it's a bit more, you can hear they're a bit more synthesized. It still has the classic kind of mostly female vocal, but there are two artists.
It sounds like we're getting closer to what we're talking about.
Yeah,
now.
So that's it. So there's a lot of that kind of like almost fist pumping bass lines going on. Two artists that really kind of really define the high energy. Well, there's a lot of producers as well. Patrick Cowley and Bobby O in particular, the latter of which we'll mention in a bit. So they were also involved in this. But two of the artists you would know, one, Sylvester, who was behind the hit You Make Me Feel Mighty Mighty Real, and really a huge, huge high energy track that really crossed over. And, you know, Sylvester was a more androgynous, out gay artist and very much groundbreaking at the time. And at the same time, there was an artist called Divine who was a drag artist and cult movie star who starred in a lot of John Waters films at the time and had a lot of tracks out like this. This is a called Shoot Your Shot. Okay, that is the extended version of Shoot Your Shot by Divine. And, you know, what you're hearing there is very much a very close analogy to what we'll get to shortly in terms of the Italo sound. Like other associate artists, high energy with the likes of the Pointer Sisters, a Canadian act called Lime, the Weather Girls, and as I mentioned, the producers, Patrick Cowley and Bobby O. And the latter produced, Bobby O was also known as Bobby Orlando. He produced a lot of Italo adjacent acts, like one of them is one of my favorites called The Flirts. And they were an ever evolving roster of female session singers and models who basically fronted or sang with the band and would do a lot of choreography kind of stuff. Songs are very fun, though. This is a song called Passion from The Flirts. So that is High Energy, and all of this, including the post-disco stuff, the Euro-disco, electro-pop, all of this kind of music was feeding into the sound of what was the umbrella term now that we know as Italo. And really, there were kind of two strains of Italo music. A lot of like old-school disco kind of musicians and composer producers, like even the likes of Moroder, who were making that kind of music, space disco and very much Italo-adjacent music. But then the second strand that I'm going to focus on here for the rest of the episode is a very particular strand, because they were all producers who didn't really have a huge amount of equipment or experience. If anything, they were just throwing stuff out there, making as much as possible. They were getting singers in to do whatever. They were having multiple aliases. They were singing in bad English accents over fun bass lines and synths. And it's almost like the sound of an imagined world that exists in America somewhere. It's like that's what a lot of seems to be Italo is trying to filter in its music, like what, like driving in an open top car with your sunglasses on and with your girl by your side. There's a bit of that kind of thing going on. So let's get into the characteristics of, you know, I think to say the other thing about Italo is that it really wasn't led by any big name artists or artists with long careers or discographies in the way that Moroder was. It was very much like these chancers who were like producers, and they were just trying to do what they could. A lot of one-hit wonders or no-hit wonders as well. So really, I'm going to play some tracks now to really characterize the Italo disco that I'm talking about. Italo disco encompasses a lot of what we just discussed there, but specifically many Italo, and these are the Italo tracks that I'm going to focus on, because we can get into a bit later on why Italo has changed and what that could be and all that stuff. But so most of the Italo productions of that era from 1979 onwards, but really in late early 80s and made from Italian labels, they had electronic drums or drum machines playing a very four on the floor rhythm. They had synthesizers that sound like kind of bright, fun sirens. They had electronic pulsing bass lines that sound like they're flexing their biceps. And I actually think, I've never asked Bicep, the Belfast duo, about this, but I kind of feel they used to do Italo nights. And I think there's a lot about the bass lines in Italo music that makes you want to like flex your biceps. That's what a lot of it is to me. It kind of sounds, it's a bit camp and it's very fun, and that's the kind of thing it makes you want to do. And then generally the vocals are quite overwrought, romantic gestures, maybe a bit mistranslated from the original English, or not really quite sure where it goes. It's all sung in English mostly. So here are some examples of the rhythm, bass line and synth combo that I'm talking about here. This is I'm going to play a few tracks for you here. This is Max Hymn and Lady Fantasy. Lady Fantasy. So that is Maxim, Lady Fantasy, that has that pulsing bass line. It has the kind of siren synthesizers and that real fourth to floor rhythm. Here's another one. This song was actually number two in Ireland in 1983. It's called Dolce Vita by Ryan Paris.
We're living like in a Dolce Vita. Gonna dream tonight. We're dancing like in a Dolce Vita. With lights and music on. Our love is made in the Dolce Vita. Nobody else than you.
That is one of my favorite songs of maybe all time. That is Ryan Paris and Dolce Vita. Up next is a song from Mr. Flaggio, very much a DJ favorite, called Take a Chance, and very much encapsulating all of those things together as well here. So again, I mean, especially in the lyrics there, like, it makes no sense. It's like the first line is, oh, what you're going to be. And then keep it stronger, I got to know. It's like, you don't really know what the hell they're talking about, but it still sounds like a lot of fun. And that was from 1980. 5 years later, this song came out. This is from Cleo. It's called Faces. I love this song. All right, and then we come to maybe the biggest and most recognizable song in that is associated with Italo, and kind of, you know, towards the end of Italo music is this song by Sabrina, which most people will know. It is called Boys Summertime Love. It was a big, massive hit, and here we go.
Boys. We'll be right back.
So that's Sabrina with Boys, one of the biggest songs of that era, 1987 that was. The song topped the charts in France, where it became the first number one single by an Italian singer, and peaked at number five in places like Ireland, Germany, the Netherlands, Norway, Spain, Sweden, Austria, Belgium and Finland. So as you can hear there, that's very much like a finessed pop version of what we were hearing before. And clearly a lot of people may know that song and the video as well. It was played on TV at the time, and she got her baps out, basically.
Yeah, this is the video that I said to you. It's like a time capsule for, or the comments on it are like,
yeah, I never looked at the comments misogyny. Before. Yeah.
Oh man, there was one comment on it that was like, boobs can be seen at, and then it was like 10 different timestamps, and it's just like, oh, okay, yeah. And it wasn't commented that long ago either. And it's just like, man, have I got some websites for you?
Yeah.
That's an absolute jam, though.
Yeah, it is. And I want to focus a bit now, just a little bit, on a very particular kind of thing that happens in Italo. First of all, I mean, I talked about the kind of nonsensical, overwrought, mistranslated music and lyrics stuff specifically. I'm going to play a song called Hey Hey Guy, which is one of the first Italo songs that I heard. And it's from a guy called Ken Laszlo. And this will give you an example of kind of like how it doesn't, it's English, but it doesn't really make sense. So here's Hey Hey Guy. All right, that is Hey Hey Guy. And I brought this up because I said earlier on that, you know, a lot of the producers had a lot of pseudonyms and stuff like that, where they were just throwing out tracks and no one really knew, and they were just trying to make money. So this guy, Ken Laszlo, an Italo disco singer, I'm going to name out some of the pseudonyms that he have, because he has some incredible ones and there are so many. So he also went by the name DJ NRG. Throwback to High Energy. He also went by the name Danny Keith, Ricky Maltese, Rick Fellini, Alvin, Rocky Custer, Francis Cooper, Jeff Driller, Franz Tornado, Jungle Bill, Remy Panther, Lucky Boy, Gordon Jim, Billy the Butcher, Cuckoo, Nicky Kay, Mr. Beat, Otello, De Niro, Tommy B. Waters, and my favourite of all, Michael Dream. So this is something
tag
that happened
yourself, I'm Franz Tornado.
Yeah. And as something else, I want to play something that you hear a lot in Italo that you may recognize if you listen to the playlist that we send out. And that is a repeating kind of vocal line. A lot of Italo uses kind of very similar chord progressions and similar bass lines. Obviously, it's very that much that rubbery bass line. So there's a very particular thing that you'll hear in, I'm going to play these three songs actually, but two of them are the same version, but I'll play this to show you what I mean. Okay, so here is from 1984. This is a song from Raf called Self Control. Okay. So that a line is something that is often used in Italian music. And the very same year, actually, that song became a huge hit for the American artist Laura Branigan with the same song, Self Control. And this is what her version sounded like. It's one of my favorite songs. And this is her take on Self Control. And I should say, you'll hear the same vocal line. I'm going to skip forward to the bridge now so you can hear this. So a lot of the artists use that same melody. Here's another one from Eddie Huntington called USSR. So that was Eddie Huntington, USSR. Are you feeling like you're understanding a bit more about Italo now, Andrea?
Yeah, I think so. I'm definitely hearing why it all sounds so similar, I guess.
Yeah.
But I mean, the thing was, when I was listening to through the playlist, I was like, yes, there was a hell of a lot of similarity here. And yes, a lot of the lyrics are like in the vein of kind of nonsensical earnestness. But I don't really mind it.
Yeah.
Do you know?
There's something about it that is enduring for me, even though it's like it can be very samey. And I don't know what it is. I think it's just so, its catchiness and its fun actually takes over any kind of criticism you can have about it. I think for me,
I think what it is for me, it's like there's a sort of like an adolescent glee about it. Like it's so unashamed of its own enthusiasm,
yeah,
and even for its own like source material, it's that kind of like earnest good time of disco, the escapism of the dance floor. It's all about the community, and it kind of moves so far past its own cheesiness that it kind of becomes it's something else entirely.
It loops back around and becomes something else.
Yeah, it takes that thing that disco did so well, which it was to kind of almost politicize the idea of having a good time, like having a good time as an act of like resistance. I think there was a quote from Giorgio Moroder that I came across, and he said, "I think it would be stupid for us to try and tell people who are dancing in a discotheque about the problems of the world. This is the very thing they've come away to avoid." And I like that. It's purely escapist music, you know.
And it's funny you mentioned adolescent, because there was actually a group called Babies Gang, and they were basically 13 teenagers paired up with an Italo disco producer and made a song called Challenger, which is on that playlist. Actually, it sounds like this. As Babies Gang with Challenger. So I want to just talk a bit about the origins of the actual name itself. As I said, Italo really became a catch-all name for music that was electronic disco kind of music from Europe in the late 70s, early 80s. But a lot of this was down to a few different facts. In Germany, as early as 1978, they had a compilation on the KTEL label called Italo Top Hits. In 1978, first volume of Italo Super Hits on the Ariola label as well, I think in the same year. And then in Italy, a label that became very instrumental in the formation of Italo as a movement or as a genre is ZYX, and that label began licensing and marketing music outside Italy in 1982 and helped popularize it further afield. Certainly in 1983, it did a lot of, released a lot of compilations called the Italo Disco Boot volumes. I think there's like, I don't know how many there is, so I don't know if it's in the 10s or 20s at this point, but it would always have the Italy map on the front. And so in 1983, like it released Mr. Flaggio, Take a Chance, Babies Gang, Happy Song, Doctors, Cat, Feel the Drive, and Savage, Don't Cry Tonight, just four tracks on 7-inch that were released that year that were very much like Italo classics. I think if you allow me to indulge for a minute, I'm going to just play a few more tracks from my favorite kind of tracks that didn't really fit anywhere else. There was a duo from Milan called La Bionda, who were Carmelo and Michelangelo La Bionda. They made very catchy fun music. And this is a song from them called I Want to Be Your Lover, which is probably my favorite. It's not quite the same as the other stuff. It's a bit more individual. It's a bit more freer. It's not as rigid as the Italo that we just played, but I really love this song. Kind of a bit more space disco-y.
Make contact. Riding in a spaceship, 1984. Picking up a signal, never heard before.
Wanna be your lover, wanna be your lover, wanna be your lover, not just be your friend. Wanna be your lover, wanna be your lover, wanna be your lover, not just be your friend.
Ground control's excited.
So that is a song I own on 7-inch that I absolutely adore. And then La Bionda then went on to make a song, another one of my favorite songs from the era, from a duo called Rigira. They produced this track. This is called Vamos a la Playa, Let's Go to the Beach. So it was Rigira, Vamos a la Playa, singing in Spanish. A couple more I want to play because this is kind of indicating maybe the fade out from disco, Italo disco, into what happened. And actually now what's happened with these songs is that a lot more of these songs are actually now considered, you know, very cool songs to play, very cool, like DJ classics kind of thing. So here's a song from Doctor's Cat called Feel the Drive. So like this song, Feel the Drive, and this next song are tracks you might hear in like on a boiler room these days. Do you know what I mean? This is from Charlie. Mm-hmm. This is called Spacer Woman. So as you can hear there, the songs are very much kind of morphing into more a recognizable dance music textures. They're kind of a bit more housey, they're a bit more electronic, a bit more electro kind of. So this would also happen basically at the decline of Italo, as you'd expect. You know, there's only so much of this kind of music you can make before people stop really paying attention to it. And it starts to morph from this kind of that kind of very pure Italo disco pop sound into a Italo kind of house sound, as you can hear there. Another track is from here is actually an American and an Italian producer, I believe, Klein and MBO. So this is they were Mario Boncaldo from Italy and Tony Carrasco from the United States. And this song became quite a influential track that influenced early house music. This is an MBO theme from Klein and MBO. So an Italian-American duo, they had a song out then called Dirty Talk, which is where a lot of people say it was one of the first Chicago house tracks because it was played by underground house DJs in Chicago at the time. This is what that sounded like. And then you can start to hear the differences now between the pure kind of pop sound stuff and the more cooler, dancey, underground stuff. So this is Alexander Robotnik and Problems d'Amour. Okay, so that's kind of really the end of the Italo disco that we're going to cover. I mean, obviously, it did have a lot of, it did have a fair amount of longevity, but also, you know, it changed and morphed. And then even when it back to the UK, like, you know, you will hear, say, a good example is the New Order Shep Pettibone remixes. A lot of the remixes of True Fate, for example, is basically very much an Italo version. Like, this is True Fate, the Shep Pettibone 12-inch. So also what was happening after Italo was that, you know, what was big in the UK by 1986, Stock Aitken and Waterman, pop producers with high commercial success, were also beginning to corner the market by repurposing that kind of high energy and Europop sound for a preteen audience. The likes of Dead or Alive, they produced records for Dead or Alive, Rick Astley, Kylie Minogue and Jason Donovan. Actually, it's funny because I was listening to one of the songs I did send you, Boom Boom, which is the heartthrob guy. So it's Paul Lukakis. Listen to this one now. This basically sounds like a Dead or Alive song. To my room, so we can do it all night, and you can make me feel right. We'll be right back. So really not a long way away from You Spin Me Right Around or yeah, you're like, it really doesn't sound too far away from that, does it?
No, that was one of the songs on the playlist. I was actually only listening to that a little while before coming on to record the podcast. Yeah. And that was one of the ones that I did find myself kind of throwing my eyes to heaven about the about the lyrics in it. I was just like, oh, God, lads, this one's a little bit on the nose, actually.
Yeah. Here's Dead or Alive, You Spin Me Around, just sorry. So while, you know, Italo in many ways didn't really have a, it did have a kind of a stop, but it did kind of go on to influence those kind of acts. A lot of that kind of Stock Aitken and Waterman stuff, it blended Italo and classic pop and Motown stuff together. And that would kind of came after the Italo period from 1987 up to the early 90s. But there is one song, Andrea, that before we finish that I would like to finish with because it makes the most sense. And that is the Niler 9 theme song, podcast theme song.
Aww.
Because it, I did first originally hear it on an Italo disco compilation called from Strut, called Essential Italian Disco Classics from 1977 to 85. It is by the Red Dragon Band. The song is called Let Me Be Your Radio and originally came out in 1980. It's more of a disco song really than a true Italo song, but it is arranged by a guy called Fred Ferrari. So to refresh your memory,
people ask me what the song, what the theme song is, yeah, like, so quite often
you've so, probably you've all heard the start
here it is.
Yeah, so you've all heard the start. It is a Red Dragon Band, Let Me Be Your Radio. Let's skip ahead a bit. So the funny thing about this, and I'm going to play this for you now, this will be the last song I'm going to finish with, and it will actually be the end of our Italo disco love-in for me. So the original version of this song is actually really fast, and it's very disconcerting when you hear it for the first time. You're like, because I heard this version first, and it was slowed down for the compilation, I think because it's mostly for DJs. But this version here, the original one, is like super fast. It's like it's trying to stop, like trying to get to the end quicker. Here we go.
No, it's bothering me. It makes me feel weird.
So yeah, I think the newer version is a bit.
Hello and welcome to the 909 podcast. Yeah, this week on the 909 podcast, I'm joined by guest Andrea Cleary. That actually genuinely made me feel a bit odd there. I think our podcast would be a whole different energy had we gone with the original.
So thank you for allowing me to indulge in the Italo genre. One of my favorite
things to indulge in. I have a couple of questions.
Go.
If you're opening the floor to some questions. Yeah. The first is, so when I was listening to it, it does seem, because it's sort of a nothing genre in that it encompasses so much. There's no real hard, steadfast rules.
It's an umbrella term.
It's an umbrella term. I'm wondering if you could give me an example of two songs that fall under Italo Disco, but they sound very, very different to each other.
See, a lot of it do.
Are there any that come to mind? Okay. I'm curious about the kind of spectrum, like how far into maybe house can you go, or how far back into disco can you go while it's still under that umbrella?
Yeah, okay. Let me see now. You'll have to give me a second here, look at this playlist and see if any of them really jump out to me here.
I have put you on the spot.
No, that's fine. So I think like when it gets kind of towards the later era, I mean, there's certainly some tracks like that. Red Dragon Band is essentially a disco song, an upbeat disco song. It's not really an Italo song, but it is often lumped in with Italo. Mm. And
do you think it's lumped in because of the vocals in it? Because it's something else I noticed in a lot of the songs, not all of them, but there are, it's kind of group vocals.
Yeah.
Or else vocals kind of bright overlaid to cheery, to make it sound.
Yeah.
But more specifically, I mean, to make it sound like it's a group of people singing or a group of people chanting.
Let me, here's a later track now, Moscow Disco by Telex, which is often called an Italo song. Let me see you play this for a second.
Ce soir, c'est la folle ambiance.
Like, that's essentially a Kraftwerk track, you know?
Yeah.
Les fraîches garçons sont très chic. Leurs chansons sont fantastiques.
But that's a 1979 track, actually. And then I like the great thing, what I love about Italo is that I'm still discovering the music. I'm still discovering tracks from it. Here's a track I only heard yesterday for the first time. I added to the playlist yesterday. It's called Children of the 80s by Le Rubrique. And I love this because it just has a bit more sparkle in the production and a bit more. It's very similar, really. And here is a song, here's kind of an earlier one. I would have included this originally in my Italo Disco playlist. It's by Advance, it's called Take Me to the Top, but it's very much like the bridge between disco and that. The thing is now, there are people who are still making music that is inspired by Italo. And like, if you look, Purple Disco Machine is one of the biggest dance music artists in the last years.
Justice's
they were
main single, D-A-N-C-E, is definitely, there's kind of a thread there that you can definitely make.
Yeah.
And the kind of the French house that came a little bit later. So certainly I'm sure had some roots in that sort of that Euro-centric sort of sound.
Absolutely.
Something else I wanted to ask you about was women and female DJs and producers. There doesn't seem to be a lot of them.
No, there wasn't. It doesn't seem like there was a lot. They were mainly the
The kind of vocalists and the face of it. Yeah, because I mean, I did look through some of the kind of music videos, and I mean, as we mentioned a little while ago, it does seem to be a bit heavy on the male gaze, and also heavy on the male gaze as well. It is a kind of a homoerotic like male genre.
Absolutely,
but also a lot of straight men are into it.
One of the songs I was thinking of there to answer your previous question was Neutron Dance by Crystal Clear. It's very much like an Italo disco kind of track, you know. But as regards to the the your second question, I don't know the answer to that because
it's just interesting that because you know if you were to take any other genre and like I'll probe into it a little bit more because I'm now really interested in kind of what it's like, but if you were to put you know punk music and women or any other genre and women, I mean I'm sure it would throw up better results than. My girlfriend doesn't like Italo disco.
Yeah, I actually found this.
Do you know what I mean? It's really surprising to me.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, that's the thing. Like, Italo disco is an old music. So to know about whether there's a community around it that it was embracing or encouraging women is probably hard to answer, to be honest.
Yeah, it's very odd.
But I mean, I know that like the likes of Bicep put on an Italo disco night. I'd love to go to one of them. And I don't think, I think that's just a classic record collector nerd vibes. No matter what the genre is, they would be saying that. Because I think Italo is a very...
It's not something that you'd ever notice from like going to nights or anything that it's not a kind of a welcoming place for women. Because I think what surprised me so much is just that this music is so like... not macho. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like it's so incredibly camp that it's really weird to me that there would be a group of men on the internet asking whether or not it's for women. It's just really, really odd.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but wanted to kind of
Well, that's Italo disco. So yeah, if you want access.
Thank you so much. That was amazing. No worries. I've liked the songs. What do you call it? Like hearted them on Spotify.
Them, yeah.
And now I have them. And
lovely.
Because as you know, and as the listeners probably know as well, I don't listen to a lot of upbeat music. So it's actually been really lovely to like lean into this week. It's been great.
Great. I like that playlist if you want access to it. It's patreon.com/909. That'll be up there now in the members area. So 8 hours plus of Italo disco to enjoy. I love Italo. Like I said, I'm still discovering the music. I'm still discovering songs from the era. And because of that, so yeah, like Italo was just such a sunny kind of music for me. And that's what I associated with, like good times, sunshine, that kind of thing.
Mm.
So that's why I love it so much. And that's why I think it's for everybody. It's like, it's everyone can understand it. Everyone can dance to it. It's very fun. It's mostly about happy-go-lucky topics that are very much, you know,
it's the definition of it's not that deep, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not that deep, bro.
Yeah.
But the music is really rich and it has this really interesting history and it has this interesting kind of relationship with disco that came before it and with like more kind of European house music that came after it. It feels like a kind of a very strange moment in time when kind of all sense of like seriousness just kind of flew out the window. Maybe in response to the like over serious rock dudes who are like, no, disco's dead. We should kill disco, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, no, we're going to make disco, but more, which I like. And I think I lean more into the kind of pew pew sounds. I like the sounds that I really liked on the playlist were ones where it sounded like groups singing, like that song that you played with the teenagers.
Yeah,
I loved that one. I starred that one. I really liked that one. I like any of the kind of pew pew spacey stuff, and I like any of the ones that aren't sung in the English language. There's one that was sung in Spanish, I think, and my housemate who speaks Spanish sort of like laughed near me in the kitchen, was like, they're basically just saying I have no money, I have no money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is like
no tango dinero. Yes, that's
laughing.
Regera.
I was like, because I don't speak Spanish, so it just kind of went over my head. And she was like, they're just saying I have no money. And I was like, they have no money. That's I have no money.
We all have no money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
None of us have money.
That means you may need to access your space disco part of your brain and listen to stuff like that, you know.
I think I do.
The space disco plays. That's more the pew pew sounds. And really, I mean, it's so many, like the likes of Todd Terge and Purple Disco Machine. And
I do like Todd Terge.
There's so much of that is inspired by this kind of music that we're talking about here. Like the Crystal Clear Neutron Dance song we said. There's a lot of it out there. And there's still people making this kind of music, you know, in some capacity and some way. And a lot of the music I would play out in clubs when that does happen is that kind of music that has that kind of vibe. Like loads of those kind of remixes and stuff like that. It's still very, very influential and still out there. Mm. And I think it's because it's so fun. That's why it comes back, and people are inspired to, you know, edit it or make it new for the dance floor. It's, I just love it. I just love it. And I will listen to Italo till I die. I'm just like, love this music. I think it's so much fun. And it's like, for me, it's like pure dance pop. And that's what I love about it. And it's never, even though it's a moment in time and it sounds dated, but it's enthusiasm and it's rich, richness. And its disposition is so sunny that I'm just like, I love this. I love this. I could listen to this all day. So, and I have been all week.
Join us next week when we flip this format and I talk to Niall for an hour and a half about sad indie guitar music. So, I'm joking. I'm not putting anybody through that. Good vibes only.
All right, Andrea, thank you so much for allowing me to indulge my Italo Disco side. And
thank you,
I'm currently wearing my Italo Disco t-shirt from Turbo
it's
Island.
It's quite the t-shirt.
So very good. Enjoyed that. Yeah, patreon.com/99 if you want access to the playlist. And Andrea, in the meantime, thanks very much. Anything you'd like to plug?
No. I have a review of the For Those I Love album on the Journal of Music. It came out yesterday as you listen. You can go and read it if you like. And that's it, I think. That's all. Yep.
Great. Okay. Lovely stuff. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Should we play out by playing our theme song, but maybe slightly more of it than people are used to hearing?
Oh yeah, why not? Okay, sure. Let's finish with Red Dragon Band and Let Me Be Your Radio, our the 909 podcast theme song. Bye.
Bye.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.